last light up here. Let's make a deal. Anybody like that show? You know, in all the game shows, you know, you got Jeopardy, you got Family Feud, you got, Big Wheel, Wheel of Fortune. All these are, and I like this one. I mean, I don't know why this one doesn't get more attention, but this is a cool show, I think. Okay, so imagine this. Monty Hall, or the current host, who is really good, Wayne Brady. Imagine, you know, they give you a couple options up here. Door number one, behind door number one is a new car. Oh, I've been good at this one. I got that voice. A new car, or behind door number two, it's a toaster. I say that, you know, let's make a deal. We've been going through the I ams of the Bible, where Jesus says, I am. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus says he is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, this is so important. When he says, I am, that's the name of God in Hebrew. That's what God told Moses when he says, who shall I say sent me? Tell them I am that I am. So when Jesus says, I am, the people there knew exactly what he was saying. He's declaring himself to be God. He says, I am the bread of life. We talked about that a few weeks ago. He says, I am the light of the world. And there in John chapter 8, we didn't talk about this, but it's very obvious. It's right there. He says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. What do you do with that? That's not a complete sentence. He said, I'm God. That's what Jesus is saying. I am God. And today he says, I am the door. Specifically in the King James, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. I am the door. So when you look at Monty Hall, when you look at Wayne Brady, and let's make a deal. Door number one, door number two, I'm telling you, this is a great deal. He said, when Jesus says, I am the door, this is the door we need to choose. This is the door. And to get into this, let's go through some famous doors of the Bible, okay? This should be fun here. Famous doors of the Bible. The first thing that comes to my mind, the first thing I want us to think about is the doors of Passover. And what was so significant about those doors? And if you remember, take it back to Exodus chapter 12, when the Israelites were leaving Egypt. And God told them specifically, go sacrifice a lamb on the 14th day of Nisan. That's important. Not so much for this, but it's important. 14th day of Nisan, take a lamb. You take that lamb, you kill it, and you take the blood, and you take that blood, and you paint your doorpost with that blood. And when the angel of death comes and he sees that blood, he will pass over your house, and you will be safe. The angel of death will not kill you and your household if he sees the blood of the lamb on your doorpost. Now, do I have to go further with that to explain what that's all about? And if I do, let me invite you, if you've not signed up yet, man, a full announcements here. April 8th, we will have a Seder supper here. Very special night for this church. A Seder supper starts at 7. It'll go till 8:30, something like that. We got a missionary coming in. I think we have 66 people signed up so far to come. I want to fill this place up. So if you can, please make that a priority to experience this Seder supper with us. And then you will understand what Passover is all about, what the blood on the door is all about. So that's one door, the doors of the Israelites. Let me take you to another door. The door of the ark. Not the Ark of the Covenant, the Noah's Ark, okay? Do you know there's only one door? There was only one door on that ark. Genesis 6, verse 15 says, this is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark. Put a door. He doesn't say put 20 doors in it. You know, you need some exit areas. You need, you know, fire marshals. You know, you got to keep everybody happy here. Put a door, one door. And the Lord shut the door. It was the Lord who opened the door. It was the Lord who shut the door. Noah just had to make the door in the ark. The Lord took care of everything else. The ark only has one door that Noah's family and the animals could enter to be saved from the flood. Our personal salvation is found in a single door as well. Jesus Christ. One door. There are no other doors. No other doors. If you don't go through that door, you're not going to make it. Let me give you another door. The door of the tabernacle. Did you realize the tabernacle only had one door? Only had one entrance. You can see it there. It was 30 feet wide. And get this here. As soon as you go into the tabernacle, you are met with a brazen altar where they made the sacrifices, where they sacrificed the bulls and the lambs. And so as soon as you come into the presence of God, there was to be a sacrifice. And what's the purpose of that sacrifice? To get you right before God. A sacrifice for your sins. Your sins had to be dealt with before you could go any further. And then after the brazen altar, there was the basin for washing. So there needed to be a sacrifice and there needed to be a cleansing before you could go any further to enter the presence of God. And people willingly did this. Now, and this catches my attention here, because you think when somebody walks through that gate, why do they want to go through that gate? They want to go through that gate because they want to be in the presence of God. That's important to them, to be in the presence of God. But then they see they have to sacrifice for their sins. And right there, you are faced with a choice. Do I care about walking with God? Or do I care about, you know, my livestock? I don't want to sacrifice anything. I mean, this is worth some money here. So do I care about my stuff or do I care about my walk with God? Which is more important to me? And the Israelite had to make that choice. And I would challenge us, we need to make such a choice. Before we come into the presence of God, are we just going to sin as we please and think, it's all no big deal? Are we going to get right with God? He wants us to get right with God. How do you do it? You come through the door, which is Jesus Christ. I'll tell you the next door, the door of righteousness. Not so popular as far as I know in the Bible, but there's a verse that talks about this in Psalm 118, 19 through 21. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation, because he provided us a gate of righteousness. This is Psalm 118. What's that talking about? What's this gate of righteousness? To get you right with God. What is that? That's Jesus. Because, you know, you go back to the tabernacle, you have to sacrifice. Well, Jesus said, I got this. I will sacrifice myself for you so you can come into the presence of God. And the Bible says, this is in Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Knock and the door will be open to you. What's this door? What's this door that we're supposed to be knocking on? The door, this is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the door. So it says in the King James. You go to the NIV, it says, I am the gate. And in the context, it makes more sense as a gate. But a gate and door is synonymous. It says specifically in John 10, verse 9. And this is the verse I want us to focus on today, the verse I want us to think about. It says, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and he will find pasture. That's what it says. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate. Now, I want to give you another visual aid here to kind of see what Jesus is talking about. In the sheepfold, I've got a picture up here. If you can make it out, you got a sheepfold, walls of rock. The sheep are protected inside, and there's kind of an opening for a gate, a door, but there's no door there. There's no gate there. And the shepherd becomes the gate. This is what it says in the late 1800s. Sir George Adam Smith was one day traveling in Palestine with a guide. He came across a shepherd and his sheep. He fell into a conversation with them. The man showed him to a place where the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls and a way in, but had no door. And Smith asked about the safety at night with no door. And the shepherd said, I am the door. The shepherd knew that was his role. I am the door. When night has gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie down in the open place. No sheep ever goes out but across my body, and no wolf ever comes in unless it crosses my body. So the sheep lays there at the entrance. The shepherd lays there at the entrance. The sheep goes in, they're protected, they're safe. They don't go back out until morning, and the wolves won't go in because the shepherd is there. And as the sheep go in, they're watched by the shepherd. They're examined to see if there's any, you know, have they been hurt throughout the day, any thorns that need to be taken care of, anything that they need to put some balm on to heal. So they're examined, they're counted, they're cared for as they go into the sheepfold. And Jesus says, I am that door, and I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to protect you. And to get this, Jesus is our salvation. And he says, whoever enters through me will be saved. And I would say, will be safe. You'll be saved, you'll be saved. Now, what does that mean? And you know, we probably talk about this every Sunday here, but I'm always afraid. And I've seen this before. I've seen people who've gone to church all their life, and they don't get this. They don't understand what it means to be saved. It's just some a church word that people talk about. And I'm thinking, the Bible talks about this all over the place, being saved. So you got to come to grips. What does it mean to be saved? And what are we saved from? We're saved from the wrath of God, which we deserve because we're sinners, because we've rebelled against God. And we're saved from our sins. We're saved from ourselves because we do stupid things now and then. And I look at this and I say, I want us to see. Jesus offers us an entry point to the righteousness of God, into a relationship with God. And how does he do it? Specifically, he does it through his blood. Remember Passover? The blood over the doorpost? It's by that blood we can enter now into a relationship with God. And we are saved. Now, let me show you Ephesians 2, verse 18. I don't know if I have this up here. For through him, we have access to the Father. Through Jesus Christ, you and I, we have access to the Father. He's the door. He's the one who lets us in. And notice a couple other things here. This door is available to everyone. It says whoever enters, or if anyone enters. So you see, it's available to all. Jesus makes this door available to anybody, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, male, female, whoever you are, Jesus says, I'm the door. Whoever wants to come and have a relationship with God, come through me, and I will let you have a relationship with God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but have eternal life. It's available to everyone. It's available to everyone in this room. Regardless of how many times you've sinned, regardless of how many times you've messed up, regardless of how many times you rebelled against God, this door is available to everyone. And also notice this, it's exclusive. He says, whoever enters through me. This is a very unique door. It's a very special door. It's a one-of-a-kind door. You remember the movie Narnia? Did you see the movie Narnia? And if you didn't, Narnia's a great movie. You go watch the movie Narnia, and a girl, the kids are playing hide-and-seek. I don't want to give the whole thing away. I don't think I am. But they're playing hide-and-seek, and a girl hides in a wardrobe. And she keeps on backing up, and next thing you know, she's in a whole other world. She stumbled upon this very unique door that let her into a whole nother world. And I'm telling you, that's what Jesus is. Jesus is that door. He lets you into a whole nother world. There is no other door that will do that. There is no other door that will let you into this other world. Jesus says he's the door. Not just a door, not just another door. The ark only had one door. I try to emphasize that. The tabernacle only had one door. One door. Salvation, there's only one door, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the door to salvation. Get that? You got that? Okay, moving on. Next thing I want you to see here, Jesus is the door of freedom. He says, that I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out. Come in, go out. This is a common Hebraic term expressing freedom and liberty that comes from walking with God, being able to come in and go out. Deuteronomy 28, verse 6, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands I give you today, you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. It says in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Your coming and going. The Lord will watch over your coming and going. Now get this. Why is this so important? If you can go in someplace, but you can't come back out, what is that? A jail. A prison. I can go in. They freely let me come in, but they're not going to let me come back out. That's prison. If I can go out, but they don't let me come back in, what's that? It's banishment. You've been banished. So we're not in prison. We've not been banished. We have liberty. We have freedom through Jesus Christ to come and go. And Jesus, he doesn't promise us that, you know, a life with no problems, but he promises to be with us in those problems. He promises to watch over us when we have problems. It says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. And nobody wants to go there. But when I go there, when I have to go there, I will find Jesus there with me. And he will be watching over me so I can come in and I can go out. He offers freedom. And he promises to fight for us. I mean, this is why the picture is so important. When you realize, and we're going to get to this here, you know, there's wolves out there. There's dangers out there, and he's watching over us. That made me think of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 verse 31 is what Paul says. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can touch us? My door is Jesus Christ. You better not dare come after me, because my door is Jesus Christ. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God to intercede for us. He's interceding for me. This is who Jesus Christ is. I'm just a little sheep, but I got Jesus right next to me. I'm walking with Jesus. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's what you are. That's what I am. We are a sheep that the world wants to slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither this present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm a little sheep. He's my door. He's my gate. He's my protector. He's my salvation. He's my freedom. In Jesus Christ, we have freedom. We have liberty. We have confidence. We have assurance. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is freedom. Freedom that the world can't relate to. Freedom the world doesn't understand. And it happens because we walk with Jesus Christ. Another thing I want you to see here. Jesus, he's the door. He's our salvation. He's our freedom. He's the door of abundance. And I look at this here. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out, and he will find pasture. He will find nourishment. Specifically, I wrote soul food. He will find soul food. John 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what the NIV says. And once again, I would say Psalm 121, which we read, it says now and forever. Not just when I die, but right now, while I'm walking with God on this earth, I am blessed in so many ways. And when the King James says that he's come to that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundantly, excessively, exceedingly, like a surplus, bigly. Go back to what was John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and Jesus fed the 5,000 with a couple of loaves of bread, some fish, and they had 12 baskets of leftovers. That's what Jesus does. We have leftovers. Not that he provides us everything that we want, like, you know, cell phones, because who wants those things? Those things are of the devil. But he gives us what we need in contentment. I've read this before. Contentment is not wanting. It was good, okay, but I can't remember what it was. Contentment is not having everything that you want, but wanting everything that you have. That's what contentment is. Jesus gives us contentment. In Psalm 23, it says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Psalm 23 begins, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Because he provides what I need. He takes care of me. I'm his sheep, and he loves me, and he cares for me. And he takes me to good pasture. Not some dry, dusty ground where I'm going to starve to death. He takes me to good pasture. Now, don't be thinking this is health and wealth gospel, but you think about what is it that he gives us. I'm not saying he's going to promise you that you're going to win the lottery. You're going to have a nice car. You're going to have a nice house. But you're going to have joy, and you're going to have contentment, and you're going to have peace, and you're going to have confidence, and you're going to have forgiveness. This is priceless. This door number one is a great door. Jesus Christ is a great door. He gives us all these things, all the opportunity to know and to fellowship with our Creator, our God, our Master. Psalm 36, verse 8 says, they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. You can't imagine how God wants to bless you. And too often it's because we have our minds fixed on these temporary things, these physical things, the things of the world. He's like, get your eyes off that. Look what I can do for you. And Lee Strobel, he tells a story. You know who Lee Strobel is, A Case for Christ? He wrote that book. He started out as a journalist and a terrible atheist. This is his words. He says he's an atheist. He was an atheist. He became a follower of Jesus Christ when his daughter Allison was just 5 years old. Lee describes it like this. He said all she had known in her 5 years was a profane, angry dad. He remembers coming home one night and kicking a hole in the living room wall just because he was so angry with life. And he said, I'm ashamed to think of all the times that my daughter hid in her room to get away from me. But 5 months, this is what he says, but 5 months after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that little girl went to my wife and said, Mommy, I want what God to do for me what he's done for Daddy. At the age of five, she was saying that. And he goes on and says, what was she saying? She never studied the archaeological evidence on the truth of the Bible. All she knew was her dad used to be hard to live with. But more and more, her dad was living in a new way. And if what God does to fathers, if that's what God does for fathers, then sign her up. Just 5 years old, but even at that young age, she could see the rich life God was giving to her dad. And little Allison gave her life to Jesus too. And Lee Strobel says, God changed my family. God changed my world. God changed my eternity. This is what Jesus can do for you. And we're just thinking, man, I just want a new car. Forget the car. He's going to give you so much more than that. Through Jesus Christ, we have salvation. We have freedom. We have abundance. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate to all these things. And why is this so important? Why should we care? And the answer, I go back to, we are sheep. We are sheep. The Bible says we are sheep. We've gone astray. We are sheep. We are defenseless, helpless, stupid little people. No offense. We have no claws, we have no fangs, and we live in this world full of thieves and robbers who come to steal and to kill us. And this is in the text. I haven't got there yet, but I'm going to get there now. But in John 10, verse 7, Jesus says it once again. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. I'm the door for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. But there's plenty of thieves and robbers out there. Now, and this is written in the context. This is John chapter 10. This is the beginning of the chapter, John chapter 10. If you know your Bible, you go back to John chapter 9, and we didn't talk about this in the past couple of weeks. I'll just refresh your mind here, refresh your memory here. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. Cool story. It's a great story. I love preaching that story. Jesus heals this blind man, but the Pharisees went after him. How dare Jesus heal this man who was born blind? Jesus heals him because he healed him on the Sabbath. Who does Jesus think he is? And they questioned the man who had been healed. They proclaimed Jesus cannot be from God because nobody heals on the Sabbath. Who would do something like that? And they called Jesus a sinner, and they hurled insults at the man that Jesus had healed. They ostracized him, and they eventually cast him out. They cast him out in John chapter 9, verse 34. They banished him. That's what the religious leaders did. So when Jesus is talking about thieves and robbers, he's talking about these religious Pharisees. And I always got to be careful here because, man, we start bashing the religious Pharisees, the leaders of the church. Hello. And by the way, we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week too. But it's not just the religious leaders; it's your worldly leaders too. It's your governmental leaders. It's 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 motivational speakers who lead you astray. It's politicians. It's salesmen. It's celebrities. It's fake news. It's all fake news. And all these people who are not exalting Jesus Christ, you've got to be careful of this stuff. You've got to be so careful. Jesus is the only door to salvation and this freedom and this abundance that we're talking about. So beware of thieves and robbers who want to come and steal your love for Jesus Christ. Or they want to come and kill your joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Or they want to destroy your purpose of living your life to glorify Jesus Christ. People want to take that away from you. And you got to understand that, and you got to know that. You got to be ready for that. You got to be aware of that. That's why you've got to stay close to the gate. You got to stay close to the door. You got to stay close to Jesus. Ultimately, what this passage is talking about, ultimately, the passage is a warning of Satan, the real enemy. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, is what it says in John 10, verse 10. The thief. That is Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know that verse, right? And have you experienced this before? That Satan is coming after you. He wants to destroy you. See, we're sheep. That's what we are. We're sheep. And Satan is coming after us. And I got to think, why? Why does he care? Why does he want to hurt us so bad? And what I wrote down here, I wrote down some things, heavy things here, that ultimately his desire is to destroy God, but he can't touch God. That's why he comes after us who are created in the image of God. And he wants to destroy us. We are created in his image. And he does this. I watched the movie Unplanned yesterday. Very powerful movie. I can't tell you too much more of that. If you get the chance, go see the movie Unplanned. But the deception is all over the place. The destruction, the lies, it's all over the place. Satan comes to destroy our babies in the womb. Babies that are created in the image of God. And now, as you follow the news, he's not content with just that. Now he wants to come after babies who are born if they survived abortion. Let's kill them too. That's Nazism is what that is. And why is this stuff happening? It's happening because people have wandered so far away from the door. They've rejected Jesus Christ, the door of righteousness, the door of protection, the door of freedom. The sheep have wandered away from their creator. They no longer listen to his voice. And Satan is out there stealing and killing and destroying the lives of so many people. And he does it through abortion. And now he does it through infanticide. And he does it through drugs. And he does it through suicide. And when you watch the news and you see these mass shootings, what is going on? People who've been robbed of their joy and their purpose, now they are being used by Satan to rob other people of their joy and their purpose and to take out as many people as possible. We are sheep. And Satan wants to destroy us. You dare not stray too far away from Jesus Christ. Don't wander away from Jesus Christ. He is your safety, your salvation, your security. If we will listen to him, if we will follow him, if we will put our trust in him. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is your safety. He's your security. He says, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved, but you must enter. This is a very special door. A very unique, exclusive door. But it's a door that requires a response. And I want to ask you right now, Have you entered through the door of salvation? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior? Are you following him? Are you listening to him? Gotta be careful. Is he your just Sunday morning hobby? Or is he your life? Do you understand how special this door is? Let me change gears here a little bit as I get ready to wrap up here. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 3. A church that had lost its first love. They'd lost their love for Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone is thirsty, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. But Jesus is saying, I'm standing at your door right now. I'm knocking on your door. And I want you to see, he's talking to a church, the church of Ephesus, to believers. He's talking to believers, which makes me think, have you closed the door on Jesus Christ? Have you wandered away from Jesus Christ? Is he coming after you right now, knocking on your door, begging you to come back? This was written to believers. So we got, if you're in this church, if you've been coming to church for years, if you called yourself a Christian for years, you got to think about, is this talking to me? Is Jesus knocking on my door? In Genesis chapter 14, four kings went to war. They seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. And when Abraham heard this, it says here, they also carried off Abraham's nephew, Lot, and all of his possessions. When Abraham heard of this, he went after them, and he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and all of his possessions. These kings, they came down, they plundered the people, stole all their stuff. Abraham went after them. John 10, verse 10, the verse that we've been talking about here, John 10, verse 10, tells us that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we may have life and have it to the full. It's time that we come to Jesus and reclaim and recover that which Satan is trying to take from us. Our joy, our love, our purpose. It's time to reclaim that and bring that back. Jesus is knocking on your door saying, please come back. Please come back. That's to anybody in here who's a believer who's wandered away. But there's another door that I was thinking about for anybody who's never given your life to Jesus Christ. There's a passage in John chapter 25, in Matthew chapter 25, this passage of the 10 virgins, that five of them were ready and five of them weren't ready. The five of them had oil. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. Five of them were ready because they had plenty of oil. But five of them weren't ready. And it says here, the passage says in Matthew 25, while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. And the virgins who were ready, they went with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. And he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. There comes a day where this door of opportunity, this door of salvation, this door of freedom and abundance, this door will no longer be available to you. Noah's Ark, there was a day that door was open for the longest time for anybody who would come in. All the animals, Noah's family, they all came in, but nobody else wanted to come in. And that door was shut. There will come a day when this door is no longer available to you. So I'm begging you today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today that you will embrace him as your Lord, as your Savior, and experience this salvation and this liberty, this freedom, this goodness, this abundance that he wants to give you because he loves you, because he cares for you, because he wants to have a relationship with you. Remember, it was in Luke chapter 19, I think it is, where he came to seek and save those who are lost, the sheep that have strayed away. Jesus came to get you back. He wants you back. So he's knocking on everybody's door right now. Do you want a relationship with him? To your heart, lead me to your